38, Isaiah 38 this morning. It's preaching time. And give you what the Lord's given us. And trust that the Lord will speak to us today. Isaiah 38. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And excited about what the Lord's able to do. If you would stand with me out of reverence reading of God's Word this morning. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. You could be a lot of different places. And you're here today, and we're honored that you're not just in church, but that you're in church here. And I know we're not the only church in town, and we're not the only church preaching the gospel today, but I do know that we are a church, and I do know we're preaching the gospel. And we're excited about what the Lord's doing in these days. Isaiah 38, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break of all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with the looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me, and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day." And so if you don't praise the Lord, that means you're dead. Amen. Amen. "The Father to his children shall make known thy truth." Verse 20 will be our thought verse as we preach from this chapter today. The Bible said, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." You can be seated this morning. Father, I do want to come to you and ask you one more time that you'd guide and direct us as we preach. Father, I pray today that, Lord, the truths of the gospel that we take out of this chapter, Lord, would speak to the hearts and lives and souls of lost men and women and boys and girls that are here today. Lord, I understand, Lord, this church today is filled with a lot of good people in the eyes of men, and that, Lord, there's many today that, Lord, find themselves in a place where they're a part of the good old boys and the good old girls, but their life has never been saved by the grace of God, or their lives have never been changed, never been delivered from sin. God. God, I pray today the Holy Spirit of God would work and move it. And His presence be ushered in as we preach the next little while. Father, I beg You this morning, oh God, would You please, Lord, come down and do for us, Lord, in this very moment what we couldn't do in this service. God, I pray those that are saved would be inspired today by the Word of God to worship and praise it, as we'll see here in a little while, to celebrate the good grace of God that has made the difference in their life. And Lord, all that You do for us, we'll bless You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we come to this chapter and read it nearly in its entirety this morning, we understand from verse number 1 that it's concerned with the life of one of Israel's great kings, a man by the name of Hezekiah. We'll not take time today to study his life, but he was a man that for the most part loved God and tried to honor God. And in his life, he feared God, and I believe that this was a man that was saved and had a relationship with God. And yet, because of rebellion, God has had to deal with him and had to chasten him. And the message comes to him, even in verse 1 of this chapter, Hezekiah, it's time that you get your house in order, because you're going to die and you're not going to live. And so God sent him a message of chastisement, a message of judgment, a message, and God was going to deal with him because of his sin. And today I'm interested in this chapter as it centers around King Hezekiah. I believe can be outlined, the verses we've read today, like this. You'll notice with me in verse number 1, there's the sickness of Hezekiah. The Bible said in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He was sick unto death. He had an incurable sickness and is headed and facing certain death. Amen. The word that comes to him is there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing a doctor can do about it. There's nothing the preacher can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. Your wife can do about it. Or your children can do about it. You need to get your house in order and get ready, because you're getting ready to die. I believe that's a good picture this morning of a sinner. And as I've said, I believe Hezekiah is a saved man in this passage, but his life in this chapter takes on a picture of a lost man in the sickness of sin, that he can't do anything about it in himself. His mama can't make him any better. Amen. His mama's got no band-aids to put on his boo-boos. Amen. This man is sick, and he's getting ready to die of an incurable disease that is in his body. And I say today, if you're here and you've never been saved by the grace of God, and you've never had a time in your life where you repented of your sin and believed on the Lord, can I say today you've got an incurable disease of sin that, my friend, you can't do anything about. This preacher can't do anything about. This church can't do anything about. Ain't a doctor in town or in Knoxville today that can help you with your incurable disease of sin. There's no chemo that can be taken. There's no shot that can be had. Amen. There's no band-aids for this kind of disease. My friend, it's an incurable disease of sin that is in the life and in the heart and in the bloodstream of every sinner under the sound of my voice today. And so we find that Hezekiah here, in the sickness of Hezekiah, there's a picture of the sinner. Notice with me, we've seen the supplication of Hezekiah. I like what verse number 2 said. Upon hearing this news that he's got an incurable sickness, he's going to die, he's going to meet God. Amen. Listen, he can't turn to Isaiah. He can't turn to a doctor. His mama can't help it. And so what does he do? The Bible said, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. In other words, my friend, he began to turn it unto the only one who can touch him and cure
for his disease. Oh, when nobody else could help it, amen, he turned his face to God. Amen, when mama couldn't help it, and his good deeds couldn't help him, and his good reputation in town couldn't save it, amen, he learned that he had to turn his face unto God, and he began to pray, and he began have friend to repent, and he began to express sorrow over the sin that he committed in the sight of God. And can I say, it'd be a good place for a sinner to get today. Amen, you do yourself no favors today to bow up, my friend, in the message of sin, and to throw your nose up today and walk out like you ain't got a problem and the rest of us have. Amen, you're a sinner. Amen, I was born in sin and you were too. Amen, there's none righteous, no, not one. And there's nothing you can do about it except turn your face unto a holy God. And Hezekiah finds himself saying, if the preacher can't help me, and mama can't help me, and my reputation can't help me, I'll go to the only one that I know might be able to do something about it. And he turned his face unto the Lord. And I say this morning, you'll never get out of your sickness of sin until you turn to the Lord. Amen. Listen, the Bible's still read and it's still true. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You say you believe in repentance. I believe the Bible, friend. And the Bible said, except you repent. Except you repent. Except you repent. You say, what is that? That's turning on yourself and realizing you've got nothing to offer, my friend, God. Amen. Understanding what you are. I like what one old preacher defined repentance as. He said, it's me turning on myself and siding with God. And I say, God said you're a sinner. And God said you're going to bust hell wide open. And God said there's nothing you can do about it. My friend, God said, amen, all that come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Repentance is you turn it, amen, away from your sin and away from yourself and looking into the face of a sovereign God. Amen. And so we find the sickness of Hezekiah and we find the supplication of Hezekiah. And I'm interested today in this thought this morning out of verses 4 down through verse 22 on the salvation of Hezekiah. As he begins to reign, the Lord gives Hezekiah some things and gives him some sign for Israel about what God is going to do in verses 4 down through verse 8. And then Hezekiah begins to write a song, and he begins to pin down some things about this whole experience. And he begins to write in verse number 10, the Bible says, I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. He's recalling, amen, all that he had, all he's been through in this sickness when Isaiah showed up and said, you might as well set your house in order. You're in trouble with God. Can I say this today? Amen, it ain't in the notes, but I just feel like saying it. Thank God for the fact and there's still some leather-lunged men of God that are willing to get up, point their bony finger in the congregation and be honest with sinners today. Amen. If you don't get right with God and you don't repent of your sin, you're going to meet a sovereign God and you're going to be weighed in the balances and found wanting. And so Isaiah didn't care that he was the king. Isaiah didn't care all the good things he had done. Isaiah ran back and preached to him and said, you better get right with God. And I just say, thank God. As a 17-year-old boy, amen, God let me hear some preaching that it reminded me of what I was, Seth, and convinced me as a sinner that, and the only way to get saved that was to turn to God that. Amen. I'm telling you how Hezekiah understand all these things here answering his soul. Amen. It's cause somebody somewhere got up and preached the word of the Lord to him that, and convinced him of what he was, Seth. Amen. And it made a difference in the life of Hezekiah in his salvation before God. Now he goes down through here and he writes and he said in verse number 8 that when he had been sick and was, notice the word, recovered of his sickness. And he goes down and he begins to explain, I was on the verge of going to the grave. I was on the verge of leaving this life not right with God. I was on the verge, but Charlie, he begins to write, and he said, my life was spinning out of control, and there was no hope, and there was no help, until I looked up, and I turned to God. And he said, I was sick, but now I'm recovered from all that sickness. Notice with me that as he begins to write, the Bible said in verse 17, but thou hast in love to my soul, notice this word, delivered it from the pit of corruption. And so he's been recovered. I've been recovered. I've been delivered. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been delivered? Have you ever been delivered from the pit of corruption? He said, Brother Jordan, that, and I'm telling you, this is gospel language this morning, that, hey man, I've been recovered. I've been delivered from my sin. I've had a change take place in my life. Notice what he said in verse number 20. The Bible said, Hezekiah speaking, he said, the Lord was ready to save me. The message is clear. You're a sinner and there's nothing you can do about it. You better set your house in order and get your life right. Amen. You're going to die and you're not going to live. Nothing you can do about it. All he could do is fall in humility and look up in the face of God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He gets to the end of it, and now he's looking back and he's writing about it, and he said, oh, hallelujah. All along, amen, when he sent Isaiah to come preach to me, the Lord was ready to save. When the message went out, I'm now looking back on it, and I see that the Lord was ready to save. When I was in rebellion against Him and done Him wrong, He said the Lord was ready to save. Amen. Hallelujah. And I say today, amen, what Hezekiah is writing about is salvation. He describes what God does for him in reaching down and recovering him and delivering him. He said it's a great miracle of salvation. And can I say today, if I could, man, if you don't get anything else, you get this today. At the Lord right now where you sit, He's ready to save. He's ready to save for you walked in. He's ready to save for you ever got addicted to the bottle. He's ready to save every curse word that came out of your mouth. He was there ready to save. I'm glad today at the Lord, listen, He don't get ready to save somebody. He is ready to save sinners. We talk about, well, old Gerald's getting ready to get saved, but God's ready to save. Amen. Amen. Ain't that a blessing today? Amen. Ain't you glad when you walked in that Sunday morning? Amen. You wasn't planning on it. You wasn't coming in saying, I'll get saved and imitate said. Amen. Hallelujah. When he walked in, the Lord was ready to save. The Lord was ready to save sinners. What does this mean? I'm still in introduction. Y'all bear with me today. But I think this phrase that Hezekiah gives in my study of it, it indicates to you and I that the Lord was ready to save me implies three truths about salvation. Number one, it implies the Lord was watching to save. He's in sin, But the Lord is a lookout for that sinner to turn to Him. Amen. When old Hezekiah, amen, got serious about getting right with God, and amen, didn't nobody have to go find God, amen, God was in glory. Amen. Hezekiah said, He was ready to save me. He was ready to save me. That means God had His eye on him, and God was watching to save him. And I say today, amen, you walked in here today lost. Amen, we may not know you lost. There's a God in glory had His eye on you. And He's ready to save you. Amen, He's watching. He's just waiting. Amen, for that spirit of repentance. Amen, to turn you to God. And that faith to be placed in the Lord. Amen, the Lord is watching to save. Glad He had His eye on me. Everybody thought I was a good old boy, Brother A.L., but the Lord knew what everybody else didn't know. He knew all the rebellion in my heart. He knew all the cursing out of my mouth. He knew all the worldly forms of music that my soul feasted on. Amen. He knew all the wicked desires. Amen. That was in my heart. And I couldn't wait. I was 18. And I was going to my friend do my own thing. But the Lord was a-watching it. Amen. He's a-watching me. Yet. Amen. I'm glad that He had His eye on me. All through the Gospels and the life of the Lord, amen, one thing is clear. He always had an eye on those that had a need. And one day He tells His disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And they didn't understand that. And my friend, He saw what they couldn't see. He seen a little old half-breed, amen, making her way up to Jacob's well. That my friend had to go in the heat of the day, amen, because of the life she lived and the background she had. But the Lord had His eye on her. Amen, the Lord was ready to save her. She didn't understand it. She said, who are you being a Jew asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink? But little did she know the God of glory had just stepped into her leg and is a-watching it. He was ready to save her. Over and over. I may not even get off this morning. The Lord's walking down one day. Amen. There's a little old man of short stature. He's an IRS agent. And everybody hates the IRS. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. He's one of the most hated men in town. Amen, son, I'm feeling good right now. He's used to running all over town. Amen, I imagine maybe he shows up at somebody's house and said it's time to pay your taxes. And they say, my boy just died. And can you come back at a later time? My boy has just died. Come back a month down the road and I'll pay you. And old Zacchaeus said, I'll be back in 30 days and you better make sure you got that money ready. And he goes on down the road and he knocks on the door. And a little woman comes to the door and tears are running down her face. And he said, it's time to pay your taxes. And she says, but sir, you don't understand, my husband. He got leprosy and he's been banished out of town. And I just need some time to get some things together. Come back down the road. And he says, I'll be back in 30 days. Amen. You won't find all this in the scripture, this between the, amen, this in the white part of the page, amen. And then he goes, my friend, on down the road, and my friend there, he knocks on the door, and there's a little old feller comes in the door and says, is your mom and daddy home? Is your mama around? And he says, you don't understand that we've been through so much trouble. My dad, he's been old crippled, he had an accident, and we're just doing the best we can to get back, and you're not coming a later time. And he said, I'll be back in 30 days. Amen. 30 days passes. Here comes old Zacchaeus. Amen. He knocks on that first door. Amen. There's a little old boy comes to the door. Amen. And he said, hey there, old Zach, how you doing? And old Zacchaeus says, well, I thought your mama said you died. And he says, I did that. Jesus came back. Old coffin was a headed out of town. trial, and Jesus was ahead of the entail, and he stopped the whole thing, and he raised me up from the dead, and he pays his taxes. I can see old Zacchaeus shaking his head, who is this man named Jesus? And he goes on down the road, he knocks on the door, and there's a man in good health, and whose skin, my friend, is just as fair as it was the day he was born. And he said, "Hey, old Zach, I'm glad you showed up. We've been waiting on you. We got a check made out for you, and we're going to pay our taxes today." I can see old Zacchaeus step back and shake his head and say, "But your wife told me 30 days ago that you had leprosy." And the old boy said, "I did. And I was out there, me and nine of my buddies," said, "and the Lord came back, and we stopped him, and we called on him, and he called me, and I'm the one that went back and said, 'Thank you.'" I'm not a leper anymore because a man named Jesus came by my way. He goes on down. He goes to the next house. He's shaking his head. Jesus, who in the world's this Jesus fella? He knocks on the next door, and my friend, there's a man comes to the door, and he said, "Oh, Zach, man, we've been waiting on you. We've been waiting on you to get down here so we could pay our taxes." Said, "Amen." And Zach steps back. He said, "Are you the head of this household?" And he said, "Oh, I am." He said, "Well, they told me you was an old cripple." And he said, "But I was a cripple, but I'm not a cripple anymore. Jesus met me along the highway. Yeah, and Jesus touched my legs." And I can see that old boy maybe does a little jig in the name of the Lord and shouts around and gives all glory to the Lord Jesus. Zacchaeus walks by shaking his head. Who in the world is this Jesus? Why is he walking away? Somebody passes him and he overhears, "Jesus is coming this way. Jesus is coming this way. Jesus is on the way." My friend, he thinks back. Amen. The little old boy just was witness of, and had been dead 30 days earlier. Amen. His mind goes back to an old boy who's a leper, whose skin is as fair as it was the day of his birth. He thinks of the crippled man that just testified. And old Zacchaeus, he's a small little fella. Amen. And the crowd has come up, and he said, "Man, I sure do want to see Jesus." Amen. The Bible says, and he climbed up an old sycamore tree. Amen. He got way on up there so he can look over. Amen. Trying to find the Lord passing by his way. I can see that little old feller. Everybody, my friend, trying to stay away from it. The Bible said this. The Bible said that he came by and passed it. And when he came to a certain tree, amen. When he came to a certain tree, the Lord looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, or I'm going to your house today." Amen. You know what that tells me? That the Lord had his eye on him. The Lord was ready to save him there. The Lord had been watching him all along. Amen. And when he got to where he was, Zacchaeus learned the Lord was ready to save me. You remember when you was going through life, trying to run from him, trying to do your own thing? Amen. You got in a service somewhere. Amen. You had heard what he had done for everybody else. You saw what he done for everybody else. Amen. Can I tell you today, the Lord's as much ready to save you as he was to save me, and to save Jerry, and to save Dave, and to save Valley. The Lord is watching to save you. Lord's ready to save me. Hezekiah said, "Boy, I hope I'm making sense. I'm feeling pretty good right now. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved today. I ain't saved because I got ready. I'm saved today." Amen. Because he was ready long before I ever got ready. Amen. I'm glad he's a watching old and a looking over my life, a waiting for this old boy to turn to him. The Lord was ready to save me. It means the Lord was watching to save. That word "ready," it means, amen, it means this today, that the Lord was willing to save. Boy, I can shout on he's watching to save. But 17 years he sat there and watched. Hallelujah. 17 years he watched this boy go through life without him just waiting. Just to watch him. Amen. Hallelujah. 17 years. I can't tell you how many gospel messages I heard. I can't tell you how many great men of God I heard preach. Amen. I suppose it numbers into the thousands in 17 years. All the Sunday school lessons I heard. All the Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services I heard. All the revival meetings I was in. All the camp meetings I sat through. All the services I, amen, was privileged to be in. And I turned them away. 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 Amen. And yet for 17 years he was watching to save me. Be honest, after a few days of that, I'd have probably got sick of me and said, that's it, I don't care if you turn or not, I ain't saving you. But the Lord, Hezekiah said, was ready to save me. Brother William, that means he was willing to do it. Hallelujah. Hold my mule, I'm going to run. The Lord knew everything about him. Knew how far in sin and rebellion he had gone. Knew how incurable his disease was. And yet Hezekiah learned that when the Lord was ready to save it, that meant the Lord was willing to do what nobody else was willing to do. There's people here today that your friends and family had all but given up on you, but the Lord was still ready to save you. Amen. The church said they'll never come. They've had opportunity and had opportunity. And that crowd, Brother Tim, we give up hope. The Lord is still ready to save up. He's still watching on. He's still willing. He's willing to save you today. The Lord's watching to save. The Lord's willing to save. Notice with me, notice what he said in verse number 20. He said, the Lord was ready to save me. Notice that I think this implies not only that the Lord was watching and willing to save, but I think it implies something even deeper than that, that the Lord was wanting to save him. And I tell you today, the Lord wants to save you. We independent fundamental King James Bible thumping Baptists, I'm afraid, have presented God wrong. We act like He's some God in heaven with a big old stick waiting to just wham and knock you out and put you in hell. And can I tell you today, He's a God that is ready to save. He's a God, Brother A.L., that's a watching to save. That's willing to save. You turn, I promise. He's willing to do so. Beyond that, He wants to save you. In fact, He probably wants to save you more than you want saving. That's why God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Because He wanted Gerald to be saved and Danny to be saved and wants Charlie Ann to be saved and wanted Betty to be saved. Amen. Wanted Joe to be saved. Wanted Candy to be saved. Amen. The Lord is giving everything that is necessary. Amen. Hezekiah said, when it's all over, I didn't understand it then like I do now. The Lord was ready. He wanted to save me. The Lord wants to save you today. He wants to save you. Somebody, amen, has come up with all sorts of doctrines that preach it. My friend, God wants some to be saved and He wants some to go to hell. My friend, there ain't no such doctrine in all the Word of God. Amen. These people, my friend, run around, they preach, amen, a gospel that is foreign to the gospel of your King James Bible today. I'm telling you, it don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what's happened to you in life. The Lord is ready to save you. He's ready today. Say, preacher, my life's been filled with all kinds of heartache. And I say today, there's a God in glory. I ain't going to get no farther than this. Oh, Mike, there's a God in glory that knows everything you've been through. He knows everything you've done. He knows the good and the bad of your life. He knows how others have hurt you. And yet he's in heaven saying, if he'll be turned, if she'll be looked to me, I'm watching, I'm willing, I'm wanting, I'm ready to save them. Hallelujah. It don't matter how old you get. Amen, Ruth. Amen. You can be on up in the sunset in years of your life. Amen. Can I say, he ain't a God that gives up easy. He's a long-suffering God. Amen. I know there's a line. I know that verse. I almost preached from it this morning in Hosea chapter 5. Ephraim's joined himself to idols. Let him alone. Amen. There's a line there where, amen, you walk away from God and God said, I let you have what you want. My friend, can I say this today? Amen. It'll be a long time before you push God to that place. His mercy endures to all generations. Amen. You say, what's that mean? There's as much mercy for you to be saved today as there was for our forefathers 100 years ago. Amen. The mercy of the Lord, my friend, stands firm and strong, and the Lord is ready to save you. Beyond in the sunset years of your life, he's ready to save. You can be a child, a teenager here today. Can I say the Lord is ready to save you?
Yes.
Amen. You're looking at one at 17 years of age, amen, that turned to God and found out all along, all through them years, the Lord was right there ready to save me all along. You don't have to live in heartache. You don't have to live in regret. You don't have to sow your wild oats. The Lord is ready to save you today. Say, preacher, do I need saving? Well, if you're still in the old man, still got that old sin disease, I'm not preaching perfection. Amen. Somebody said they preach that sinless doctrine down there at Calvary. No, we preach a sinless.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Not sinless, but we believe you get saved. Not that you'll be sinless, but you'll sin less. You might as well look on up in here. Think you claim to be saved. Amen. You still tell the same old dirty jokes. Ain't never been a change in your life. No desire to be at the house of God. Listen, you get saved, you'll sin less. Lord is right there, ready to save me. You ever ask somebody, are you saved? And they say, saved from what? Well, that tells you right there they ain't never been saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from yourself. Saved from hell. Saved from the wrath to come. Thank God I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No more. Hallelujah. The choir sang right today. I'm glad. Thank God I know I'm saved. Hezekiah said, when all the dust settled and I was standing over here, recovered, delivered, I looked back and I knew the Lord was ready to save me. I ain't even half done today, but I'm going to cut her off right there. I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, the Lord wants to save you. He's willing to save you. You ain't here by accident today. Ain't no accident you're in this service. Ain't no accident God would bring you by here and then let this young, loud mouth, stomping, sweating, snotting preacher, amen, tell you how wicked you are, but that there's a God in heaven ready to save you. God knew you'd be here. God knew you'd be here. God knew, my friend, what you needed. No accident. God watched the whole thing. God in His divine will has mapped it all out. Give you an opportunity to hear the gospel one more time. God today saying, come on and be saved. Come on and be saved. You say you got Bible for that? Amen. I thought you'd never ask. Over there in Luke chapter number 15, the Lord gives three stories. He gives a story about a lost sheep. He gives a story about a lost silver, and he gives a story about a lost son. He said that shepherd had 100 sheep, and he lost one, and he went out, left the 99 behind in the fold. Amen. Safe behind the shepherd's protection, and went out and found that one lost sheep. And when he come back carrying that sheep on his shoulders, he called all his friends together, and they rejoiced over one sheep that had been found. And then Jesus said, I tell you, amen, hallelujah. He said, I'm telling you, there's great rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Somebody said, that's them angels shouting. That ain't what that verse said. That verse said they shouting in the presence of the angels. I think the angels is looking around going, what in the world's all the shouting about? You say, who's the shouting? I think the Lord's doing the shouting myself. I think the morning I got saved, Brother A.L., God said, hallelujah. Oh, little Jeff got in. Oh, little Jeff, amen, turned his heart and his life to me. The Lord shows right there he is wanting to save me all along.
Amen, brother.
Hallelujah. He said, this old woman had 10 pieces of silver. I told y'all that's done. I'm about to preach 5 more hours. She lost one of the 10 pieces of silver. And anybody, I'm telling you, man, she didn't know what happened. Any sane person would have said, dear ma'am, you got 9 more. What's the big deal? She said, oh, but I need that one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bible said, Brother Danny, she got a broom out, cleaned up the house. That means she turned the rug over, flipped the couch up on its end. Amen. Moved the table, looked under the bed, looked everywhere, every corner, every crack, every place where there was darkness. She went and shined the lamp, trying to find one little lost piece of silver. The day came. I don't know where she found it. She got down where it was and said, there it is.
Wonderful. Yes, sir.
And I think she did something like this. Woo! When's the last time some of y'all went, woo! The old neighbor said, what in the world's got into you, ma'am? Hey, she said, come on over. That old lost silver. Y'all hear me tear my house apart and a weeping and a crying. That which was lost has been found. And the Bible said they all got together and they rejoiced over what? Amen. Piece of silver found. And Jesus said, nay, I tell you, and there's great rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And I tell you today, the Lord's sitting on the edge of the throne of grace, waiting on you to come.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm about to jump on that piano. Somebody's helped me now. God's in glory saying, come on, sinner. Come on, sinner. Come on, sinner. Amen. Come on, get up at your pew. Get up and leave the life you've been living that's caused you to head to hell, left you in despair, in the pit of corruption, headed for the wrath of God. Get up where you are and come on. I want to save you.
Yes.
Why in the world, with a God that's watching, willing, and wanting to save you, and you know you need saving, would you sit in that pew this morning and turn him away again? He's ready.
Yes, he is.
He's ready. He's ready. Let's all stand. Father, I love you today. We'll thank you for the word of the Lord. We'll thank you, Lord, that when I was lost, you're ready to save me. Father, I want to bless your name this morning. Lord, you don't care how sick somebody is in sin. You don't care, Father, how deep they are in it. If they'll turn to you, you're ready to save them this morning. Lord, I've tried to preach my heart out today. Lord, we've been a little scattered, and Lord, I pray you just bring it all together and in line. May it help every sinner today to realize what they are, realize who you are, that you're ready to save them right now where they stand. God, I pray they not leave here today in the same condition that they walked in. May they be saved by the grace of God. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. No one's looking around this morning. There's a few's already come this morning. Maybe you know you're saved. Maybe you just need to get down on this altar and say, Lord, thank you. All them days that I didn't come, all them days I turned you away, you're still ready to save me. Thank him for not giving up on you. Maybe you're here today and you're saved. You ain't been living saved. You kind of drifted back in that old life, living in the flesh. Won't you come today, get it right. Just get it right today on the merits that he was ready to save you when he did. Maybe today you've never been saved. You know in your heart you need to be born again. Maybe today you just step out where you are, come down this old-fashioned altar. Leave here today, born again, saved by the grace of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many's here today? Say, Pastor Jeff, I need your prayers. I'm not saved. Listen, I ain't going to come to you, friend. I ain't going to drag you down this aisle. But you'd be honest enough with yourself, with God, and this young preacher. Say, Pastor Jeff, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young lady. Prayed for both of you this morning. Is there another? Pastor Jeff, please pray for me. I'm not saved. My life's never been changed. I'm not asking you, are you coming? I'm just asking today, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're born again? Would there be another say, Pastor, please pray for me. I really desire your prayers. I'm not saved. Do you know you're saved? How many say today, but lifted, I am pastor, no doubt about it. I know I'm saved. No, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can raise my hand, testify that. Just uplift your hand right there. I know I'm saved. My life's been changed. Just hold it up there now. Hold it up there now, Pastor. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. God bless you. Put your hand down. Listen, there's two. Raise your hand. You're not saved. There's several of you. Thank you for being honest. You couldn't raise your hand that you know it. I want to invite you today to come. Listen, we're right here, right now, waiting on you. I'll meet you. You step out where you are. I'll meet you as you make your way. We'll get somebody to take the Word of God and show you how you know you can be saved. He's watching today. Right now where you stand, he's got his eye on you. Right now where you are this morning, I promise you, the Bible said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's willing to save you. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. He does, and he's still willing today. He knows what you've done, and he knows what's been done to you. And he's willing to save you. He's not willing that you should perish. Today, right now, he wants to save you. Won't you step out, young lady? Come on down. God will save you. God will save you. If you'll come, it's your choice, your decision. Ma'am, won't you come today? Won't you come today? Sir, what about it? What about it this morning? I promise you there's a God in glory. Did you catch what Hezekiah said? I didn't even get a chance to deal with it. But he said, in love thou hast delivered my soul. In love thou hast delivered my soul. I say today, you may feel like the most unloved person in this building. You may feel like nobody cares for your soul. I ain't going to argue with you about your feelings. You'd be wrong. This young preacher cares for you. This church loves you. But there is a God in heaven that in love can deliver your soul. She's playing now. We're not going to tarry much longer. I'm begging you this morning. I'm pleading with you. Step out there. Why would you want to walk out them doors knowing there's a God ready to save you? You raised your hand. You know in your heart you need saving. Why, when there's a God ready to save, would you not run to Him, run to this altar today? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you again. Dear God, please help us today. God, our hearts are heavy and burdened to see sinners saved. Lord, is up early this morning praying for the sinners that would be here. Lord, we prayed in the prayer room with the men that you'd move in this service. We know you have. God, it's been our desire in every moment of preaching that you'd reach out and touch some sinner today, draw them to yourself. We believe you're trained. God, we believe you're doing it. God, I pray this morning, Lord, break the heart of every sinner. May they get sick of themselves, sick in their sin. Lord, may they, in fear and in trembling before a thrice holy God, turn to Him in faith and repentance, in humility for salvation. Lord, we know you're ready to save. God, help them, give them courage, Lord, to do it quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All God's people said, amen. Appreciate your attention this morning. Man, I tell you, there's enough liberty here today to, amen, preach a shingles off your roof. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. It ain't that kind of preaching that bothers you. It's that Bible that bothers you. Amen. Somebody said the only people that don't like old time preaching, the old time way, is those who don't know nothing about it. Amen. I got saved old time way. I got saved, fell under conviction by, amen, y'all think I'm something, Brother Jason Kendrick's son. You watch these preachers that come in, if they wear cowboy boots, they'll stomp your guts out. Amen. Any preacher wears cowboy boots, you mark it down, he's going to stomp you. And that old Yankee up in